Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Quality. It's Friday, the 13th of March, 2026. I'm your co-host, Simon Tomes from the Mottaverse. I'm joined today by a wonderful co-host, Demi Van Malcotte. Demi, how you doing? What's been happening?
Well, Simon, as always, it is so good to be here. I always look forward to this moment. If I don't have any meetings, I turn This Week in Quality just to hear what everyone is up to, because it always just brightens my day somehow, or like it's a good end of the week. So that's always good when it's This Week in Quality. But it's just been busy. Like I have the feeling I say this every time I'm on the podcast, it's busy, but really, like, somehow with the weather having been nice last week or something, like, everyone has gotten into action and they're doing their work and it's better than usual and everything is going to plan. I believe last week or the week before, I had to do a demo, but like of the entire application, it was 20 minutes of me talking. And during the entire demo, nothing went wrong. I was like, how did this happen? That doesn't happen during demos. So, you know, like everything is going good. It's going busy. And yeah.
A Demi demo. I mean, wow, that was successful. I love that. Yes, finally, there's hope for all of our listeners today that they can go well and they are not full of unexpected things that can often happen when we demo or showcase some changes and features. So I'm glad to hear that, Demi. That's really cool.
That sprint, the testers were the only ones doing the demos for some reason. And right. We had to demo four different projects with like then in total I believe six different applications, and for none of us was there something that went wrong. So all of the demos went well, and we were just amazed after that, like what did we do to make this happen? Can we do this again?
Oh, that's great. I wonder if like it's like a bank account, maybe you've used up all your good demo bucks the next time around, but there might be other ways to replenish those demo bucks. I don't know. Please share your thoughts in the comments, folks, for those following along live. Oh, that's wonderful. I just love it when that all happens and it all kind of comes good and all that hard work pays off, right? It's kind of kudos to you and your colleagues for setting things up in a way where you could demo with success. That's great. And welcome to our listeners, both those of you who are joining live right now and those who are listening on the podcast. Welcome, dear listeners. It's lovely to have you here. I can see for those who are busy in the chat saying hello, it's great to see you. We've got Rosie, Jesse, Gary, Helene, Adam, Melissa, Adi, Andrew, Pretty, Finder, Judy, Tatiana, Neil. Ah, this is great. A lot of good folks have joined today. So hopefully we can get some of those people up on stage to join us and have a little chit chat. So for those who are unfamiliar, This Week in Quality is an opportunity for us to gather at the end of the week. We have a little chit chat and just find out what you've been up to. Tell us what you've been working on, some of the challenges you're facing, some of your wins, some of your achievements. Tell us if you've run a successful demo this week. This could be the theme. But yes, please do feel free to join the stage in a little bit. Demi and I are just going to have a little exploration of some of the things that have been happening in the Mottaverse. You want to call out some of the good things that people are up to, and we can do that. So Demi, we were chatting beforehand and we thought, how about we call out some Mottaverse moments? So a Mottaverse moment is a thing that you can post on the Mottaverse. Think of it like a blog post. So you can go onto ministryoftesting.com/moments, tap the create moment button, and off you go. You can tell a story, you can share a photo, you could share a diagram, a drawing, a reflection, or whatever. Whatever image you share, you can write whatever you like as well. We've recently updated the feature so you can rich format your post. So give it some headings, give it some bullet points, give it some quotes, add lines of code in there if you want. It's pretty cool. So think of moments as a form of blogging, and you can use the Mottaverse to blog now. all of it gets connected to your profiles. People can share their thanks, which gives you stars and gives them stars. So it's just, again, a nice way of getting involved with the Motiverse. So Demi, which moment would you like to call out first?
There are so many amazing moments. Now, first, before I'm going to call them out, I just want to clarify for some people that were used to the older names. Like, we have merged the memories and the memes into moments. So all your memory posts are moments now. And the memes are also now moments, but I believe we forgot to put a tag on them, so none of them are listed as memes anymore. But if you want to add a meme, you simply need to add a tag to your moment saying that it's a meme. So you add a tag meme, and that should clear it up normally.
Absolutely. Oh, and in fact, just to let you know, Demi, when we migrated to moments, anything that was a meme was auto-tagged with meme. Awesome. So they are available. But yes, that's, we don't have a dedicated link to memes, but treat, you know, you can post a meme as a moment. That's all good. But yeah, do use the meme tag. And then for those who like investigating, you might want to try ministrytesting.com/memes and see what happens. But yes, Demi, go for it. Please continue.
No, I was just reading the chat where Judy was just asking about memes. So there you go, Judy. Now you know how to make memes. But indeed, maybe we can make a meme collection to gather them once more. So yeah, but there's already so many great moments shared. For example, I saw a moment by, let's see, like by Preeti about that it was Women's Day last week, I believe, or somewhere earlier in the week. It was Worldwide Women's Day. And I just wanted to call it out because I saw on all kinds of platforms all kinds of cool things going on because of International Women's Day. And it was, for example, in the Netherlands, Women in Tech had a call for all women to post like, hey, what does your day look like? So to just show like a woman in the field of tech doing their thing. Like, so LinkedIn was full of those. I love to see that. And for example, yesterday here in Belgium, there was the, what is it called? Women in IT Awards. So they award different individuals, like mainly women, like the that they were amazing, inspiring persons this year being in IT. So they are inspiring other people, other women to also join IT. So there was the main women in IT and also a rising IT star and stuff like that. So it was also very, very cool to see, like a very on point in team. I heard the dessert buffet was amazing. So kudos to that. I feel like I have to check that out next year. So yeah, International Women's Day seemed like there was lots of things going on and lots to celebrate. And there's many amazing women in the MOT, the Motiverse as well, that deserve celebrating. So I wanted to call it out because I absolutely loved seeing all the different things going on for Women's Day.
That's so cool, Demi. Appreciate you sharing that and calling it out. Yeah, 100%, right? There's also that post from Rosie. She said that she was, and I'll just share a link to it so folks can follow along for those following along in the chat. Rosie said, I was lurking in an International Women's Day session and they were talking about logging wins and I couldn't help but blurt out brag book in the comments. It's also funny now because whenever that term comes up, I always think of Cassandra Leung. Why, you may ask? It's because she did a talk, How to Make Your Work and Achievements More Visible. As part of that, she spoke about maintaining a brag board, a visual document like a Miro board or Trello throughout the year. This reduces the cognitive load for your manager during review session. Instead of them struggling to remember what you've done recently, you hand them a pre-mapped map of your wins. And there's a link to that brag board template on Rosie's moment. So yeah, it's kind of like that importance of sharing stuff that you've been up to, gathering feedback, making a note of all of this stuff. That for me stood out this week because it is important, you know, and I think often we are caught up in the day-to-day and we don't take a moment to capture our achievements and wins. I think, I guess, another way of thinking of achievements that's sort of as part of the Motiverse is your profile. So if folks aren't so familiar with the concept of a Motiverse profile, the Motiverse profile is essentially your own brag book, because it will capture all the things that you've been up to in the Motiverse, the people that you've been supporting, your various different contributions, whether you've been showing up to events, whether you've been writing moments, like expressing your thoughts and ideas and experience with the community. So I kind of think of a Motiverse profile as its own type of brag book. So yeah, nice reflection there from Rosie. And again, sounds like it was a very cool session that she joined for International Women's Day. Tammy, anything else that you spotted this week?
There was so much to choose from. It was amazing. I absolutely loved Judy Mosley posting like a moment of, she was listening to an episode of Into the Motiverse, specifically the one with Natalia Vermeij. And Natalia gave a really cool tip about how to gain confidence. Namely, it wasn't any vague advice. It was just like, do a hard thing. So just take something that is hard for you. So it doesn't even have to be hard, like in the general term, just something that is hard for you. And just, you know, like do it. And then doing all those hard things, that will bring you confidence. Like, for example, when I was younger, I was so terrified of speaking in front of an audience, like those things where you have to give an oral presentation in class. Oh, I was absolutely terrified of doing those. I had so much anxiety, and I don't know how, but somehow I just kept doing presentations and I kept going and trying. And last year, I stood on the Monocon stage speaking in front of hundreds of people. So by doing the smaller hard things, by keep doing like what the things you're afraid of or that are difficult for you, before you know it, you can do the amazing things that you never thought possible. So I absolutely love that advice. And I later saw another moment by Chris Pratt that really like reminded me also of it. And it said, they often say getting started is the hardest part. And I absolutely believe that like the first step, the first time that you do it is always the hardest. But each time after that, it becomes like a little bit easier. And yeah, before you know it, you can do amazing things. Like you just need to take one step. And before you know it, instead of being a baker, you're a tester like me. Or there are so many things you can achieve with just like doing the one small thing, taking the first step, trying something hard. And before you know it, you get to do the most amazing things. So I absolutely love those moments. They absolutely put into words what I've been through and inspired me. And I'm sure they inspire other people as well. So I love those moments, really.
I love it, Demi. Wonderful advice. And what I love about this, right, is Natalia had that conversation with Rosie on Into the Motiverse. Then Judy posted that moment and reflected on it and kind of played it back, her interpretation and replaying Natalia's advice. And then you've just shared right now about that. And isn't that amazing, right? Because that's three different people's perspectives on a particular topic, and a very important topic about building confidence and being willing to try things that feel scary and, oh my goodness, what's going to happen when I do this thing? And you never know, like into that unknown. And I think that's wonderful that that can happen with the Motiverse. And that's why, you know, constantly encouraging, and I sometimes do sound a bit like a broken record, I'm sure, for people to get involved and find your way to contribute and do something that genuinely is scary. Like, I really want to see, I can see some people in the chat who are following along live right now that perhaps have never joined the stage at This Week in Quality. I would say today is the day to give it a go. Pop up on stage, just say hello and then disappear if you want to. Pop up on the stage, say hi, tell us what you've been up to, and hang around. It's up to you. And if it feels scary and you're like, oh, no way, I'm not doing that, just go for it. Join the stage. I'm hopeful that myself and Demi will make you feel welcome. And I know the audience listening today will want to support you. And they, you know, they want to hear from you, right? They want to meet you. The community is here to support each other. And as Judy Mosley shares in the chat, you can test the stage in TWIC. Yes, you can. 100%. That's a great way. We also, Demi and I were joking before we went live today, we see a new feature on the app that we're using with Steer, where we want to test to see if there's a certain number of people that can come on backstage and we can make sure that we can see them beyond the scroll of the window. So it's also another good reason for us to want to test something live. So the more people we get backstage, the better.
Yes. Help us test the new Wistia feature, please.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Oh, I love it. That's very cool. And also, you know, you calling out Chris Pratt's post as well. That's, you know, feels very connected. And a shout out to Chris, who recently launched his own blog. So do search for Chris Pratt on the Motiverse. You'll then see a link to his new blog. It's well worth checking out. He's got a couple of posts on there already. So yeah, support Chris. He is putting himself out there. He is sharing his thoughts and ideas. I've managed to get a sneaky peek at some of the posts that he may publish in the future, and they're very good. So do go check out what Chris Pratt is up to. Right. So Demi, I think I had another moment, but maybe I can try and bring that into the conversation a little bit later, because I wonder if it's, you know, a good time to get people up on stage and see what folks have been up to in this week in quality. So yeah, let's get people up on stage. If this is your first time joining This Week in Quality, I really encourage you to go for it. Or if you've been here for a while as a listener, but you've never been up on stage, today's the day. Just go for it. See what happens. We can talk about whatever's on your mind, whatever you want to discuss. Let's have that chat, and we're here for it.
Definitely. We absolutely love it when people join us on stage. We always feel a bit lonely with just the two of us, but we absolutely love it. Whether you have been on the stage already dozens of times or it's your first time, we would love to have you. And you can tell us about anything, whether it is, I believe there was the Pierce conference last week that you want to talk about, whether you saw a cool article that you want to tell us, maybe you had a win this week, you had something like a small win or a big win that something went amazing and you want to share it with some people. We love to be excited with you. Maybe you encountered a problem. Maybe you need some inspiration or ideas on something you're doing. Maybe you want to pitch us your idea for an article and you want to hear what we think, like anything at all. Come join us. Click on the button to join the stage queue and we will add you on stage and we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Well, Demi, it looks like we have Neil Taylor has joined us backstage. So Neil, yes, we're going to bring you up on stage right now. Neil Taylor, welcome to This Week in Quality. How you been? How's your week in quality been for you? So we search for that elusive mute, unmute feature and hope that the permissions are in place for Neil to chat with us today. This is a moment in of itself where sometimes during an episode of This Week in Quality that tech can play a problem when it comes to audio permissions. So Neil, if you can hear us, please do keep trying. In the meantime, whilst that's trying to get resolved, I see that Helene has joined us backstage. So Helene, let's get you up on stage.
Hello.
Welcome. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing very well. I actually got some of Demi's demo luck. It was all good. Like Demi said, I also had a demo, which was a fairly long one, and it also went very well, despite having things that I didn't originally want to show. And our main analyst asked me, I think about 5 minutes before my lunch, to show a lot more than I'd planned to do. But it all went very well, so I'm really happy about my week. Also, a lot of things that have been stuck for a long time came through and are working well, and I'm so glad about it.
I'm glad to hear it. That's very cool indeed. And is there, thinking about the demos and how we run demos, what do you think led to things going so well? Are there certain things that would just set up in a way around your process, or is it genuinely just luck?
I think in this case, it was genuinely just luck. Though, I will say In the past, we had a couple times where developers would push tickets right before a demo or clean the database right before a demo, which would then end up breaking everything. And now they've learned very well that the day before the demo, they are not allowed to change anything anymore. So they've internalized that lesson, and I'm very happy about it.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm glad that they finally learned their lesson. You remind me, I'm trying to think what it used to look like. I worked at one place where I seem to remember I had this line where I'd literally say it all the time, no more changes. And I think I ended up like printing out a piece of paper, just would hold it up in the office back in the day when we were all in offices. No more changes. It's like, just stop it. We're trying to lock down this thing so we can have a stable environment to showcase this stuff. No more changes. I brought back a fun memory, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. The developers are very much an expert in accidentally emptying the database right when you need it, like in the middle of a test or right before a demo. They're very good at that, I can tell you. And then each time when I put like in the team chat, like, hey guys, why is the database empty? Who emptied it? And they're all like suddenly scrambling, like, was it me? Oh, no. And then I get like one very cheapest developer, like, maybe it was me. So it is a common thing in developers, I've noticed.
Quite recently, we had a developer who had been trying to clean the top database, but instead cleaned the development database.
Oh, crikey. Oh, that's unfortunate that happened.
So, but now they have learned to like when they really want to clean the database for some reason, they have learned to ask us if it's okay. So it's getting better. I've gotten true to them a little bit at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Gary Hawks says, sorry, were you using the test system?
That's brilliant.
Yes, we were.
Funnily enough. Yeah. Well, I was thinking about, like, I've been reviewing some of the lessons for the software quality engineering certificate. And a lot of the common themes through that is that kind of importance of collaboration, but it kind of not just like at just a high level, isn't collaboration good? Of course it is. We know that, right? That kind of goes without saying. But that kind of, there's a piece around stakeholder management and how we communicate certain risks with different stakeholders. So like, you know, we communicate with developers in a certain way, we communicate with business people in certain ways. And I'm thinking about what you just shared about databases being clean and also demos, like two very different things, but they're so related, yet they have different stakeholders. So it's fascinating how all of that is kind of all joined up. So yeah, I'm looking forward to, for those who are looking to get SQEC qualified, so the Software Quality Engineering Certificate, when they get to the piece around stakeholders, it's very cool. There's lots of good models in there, lots of good advice from a number of folks in the community have contributed to that. Helene, please stick around. We're going to try Neil Taylor another time. Neil, if you would like to give it a go, unmuting, we're hopeful second time round that we've been able to, or you've been able to find a way to overcome perhaps an audio permissions issue. Neil, feel free to give it another try. Ah, it seems that the curse of the TWIC has struck again. Sorry, it's not working for you this time around, Neil. Please do keep trying. We do want to hear from you today. I know you've been doing lots of cool stuff, getting involved in conversations around the concept of friction, which funnily enough was one of the moments that I was going to talk about today. But we shall wait to see if you can join us on stage to talk about that, Neil. In the meantime, folks, if you fancy joining the four of us up on stage, again, if it's your first time, maybe today's the day. I see a comment from Melissa Fisher. Would love to join another day. I am definitely conference hungover after PeersCon yesterday. Lots of tea today. Ah, I know that feeling, Melissa. I am assuming you mean your brain is fried from so much knowledge, kind of taking in all sorts of knowledge, meeting lots of people. It can certainly be overwhelming, that's for sure. Oh, and I see from Neil, I don't think it's working. Despite saying I have a mic, it's red and marked out. Trying a plan B. Okay, Neil, we are hopeful for your plan B. We shall wait patiently for that. And if there's anyone else in the chat, oh, I see that Zana has shared, starting something public like a blog or sharing testing insights can feel uncomfortable at first, but it often leads to valuable discussions in the community. Yeah, absolutely, Zana. Yeah, if you're up for it, feel free to join us on stage and you can expand on that. Tell us a little bit more about some of the experiences you've had with starting things in public. We'd love to hear from you. And as Jesse Barkley says, and as testers, we do test in prod. Yes, we do.
We test everywhere, anytime, any place. I saw some moments as well about people doing some accessibility testing on outdoor gyms. And I was like, we do apply our skills everywhere. Yes, that is a fact. And so I find it absolutely amazing for the, it's one of those things that testers now have, like whatever they do, wherever they are, they now see things through a tester lens. So whenever you open a website and you're like, oh, this isn't working, they didn't test this very well, I can see all the issues. Like I have this a lot, and I love seeing other people just like posting the moments where they experience that as well. It's absolutely amazing.
And the thing is, it happens all the time, right? It's like, we can't help ourselves now. And it's also like, just, yeah, the anecdotal feedback. I don't know, let's take an example. I think my wife was on an app the other day and she was just like, why is this not working? Like, it just genuinely is not working. And I was just thinking to myself, oh, I'll get a screenshot of that. I could share it as a moment. It's like, and then kind of share some thoughts on it. But yeah, we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. It's a good thing.
I believe last week I was in the middle of a presentation with some people, and it was just like one of those screens from PowerPoint where there's like presenter buttons. And I was like, oh, I've never tried this button before. And I tried it and figured out what it did. And like 5 minutes later, we needed the exact functionality that button did, and no one else knew about it but me. And I was like, yeah, that's what testers have. They have all the secret buttons and functionalities because they try it all.
Absolutely brilliant. And the fact that that was 5 minutes before as well, like you were the expert just because of those 5 minutes before.
It was amazing. But I see we have Neil Taylor once again on stage. So let's see, Neil, is your microphone working?
Ah, Neil, we are so sorry that technology is failing you today. Or perhaps technology plus, or software plus hardware, maybe I should say, is failing you. I'm so sorry for that, Neil. Is there a plan C? Maybe this is a moment post as well. We go from plan A to plan B, but how about plan C? I wonder what plan C would look like for Neil right now. But yeah, we're so sorry it's not working out, Neil. Please do keep trying. We really do want to hear from you today. As Neil says in the chat, not sure this is going to work for me today, but I can look into plan C. Yes, we want plan C to happen. We want to see. Oh, and as Gary has mentioned, this is where we call in the private tester, Simon. Indeed, Gary and I had to do that a while back to test out his devices, and we were successful with that, which meant that Gary could join the stage at future episodes. But Demi, I see we have Judy. Judy's waiting backstage to join us. So let's get Judy up on stage.
Yes, Judy, we've already shared lots of moments that you put on the MOT website, but maybe you have some more moments to share. So how was your week in quality?
Yes, my week in quality was lovely. Also, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's been good. I did want to add to the demo thread in the fact of like, it wasn't me doing the demo, but so for context, I am the only QA on my team, and we have, I think, 15 developers. So our QA process is a bit different from other organizations. But recently, so typically when a project is ready, that's when I test it, and I was finding that by the time it made it to me, I was finding bugs that I'll put it like this. I was surprised I was finding the types of bugs I was finding. Like, and I work with great people, and I work with people who work, they do such a good job, and at the same time, there's a lot going on. And so I approach the test or the lead engineers, because they lead our teams, and I said, I'm going to ask that before you hand it to QA, just do a risk storming session, but do it without me. Like, I don't want to lead this, but I would just, if you think it's ready for QA, I think the team should go ahead, get in there, and just like, just try a few things. I said, because I brought this up because we needed faster feedback loops. Like, what the project, the work that I was receiving, it just wasn't done. And I was getting kind of surprised, but also frustrated that you know, like, things should be working and they aren't working. And this does have a good end, I promise. I'm just trying to set the stage for everything. And so one of the projects was code complete. And so one of the devs took it upon themselves because they were going to do a demo for the company, and they tested it out and they found bugs. And so they fixed those issues before they did a demo. And then by the time it made it to me, it was so much better. And I also I haven't made a moment, which actually that would be a really good moment post, is that I listened to Stuart Day's episode about being a lone tester and things that you can do as a lone tester to just help the culture in general. And one of the things was thanking, like, I don't remember the phrase, but it was like publicly celebrating quality across the team. Like, yes, you're a lone tester, and yes, recognition is lovely, but when you can celebrate it in others, when you see it, make it public. And so based on that advice, after watching this developer's demo and just seeing him catch issues early and then me testing it and seeing how good it was, we have a kind of like a thank you chat at our work. And I publicly thanked him. And then another developer hopped on to that thanks and added another thank you to the same developer. So it was just good. It was good all around. And I will say, I'll just add that, like, asking for what you need. I was talking to Rosie recently, and it was like, you know, as a human being, asking for what you need is hard, but also you have to do that as a QA, and especially as a lone QA. Like, you can't just be frustrated and not say anything and speak up for what you need. So anyway, that was a lot, but it was really great to be able to see changes after speaking up and then celebrating those changes afterwards.
Yes, I can definitely see that sometimes it, like, nothing seems to be working right, or if the things that how your team is set up or how they are working doesn't seem to help the QA. I had the same thing at the beginning of the year where the developers really weren't taking accountability for the quality for a while. And we had a presentation on how busy we're going to be the next few years. And I really spoke up like, guys, I get it. It's a lot. But I really am going to need your help, because the testers are not going to survive if this keeps going. So I need you guys to help me out here. I need you to step up, to listen when we ask for help, to jump in if we're overwhelmed. And all of them were really like, Demi, just tell us what to do. And it was a lot. The hardest thing about that was not that they were all willing to help, but it was that they were all still putting the pressure on me because they were like, yeah, Demi, figure out how this can be solved and we'll do it. But you still needed to figure out what all needs to change for it to go better somehow. Mm-hmm. So I definitely get how hard it can be when you're like, there's only if you're only one of a very few people or even the only one in the room being the voice of quality and calling that out. And then when you call it out, they still expect you to tell them what is going wrong or how they can fix it. And it's so difficult sometimes to get out of that slump you're in those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing that I've learned over the years is to assume the best of people. And so, yeah, it can feel frustrating when it seems like they're giving you the task, but at the same time, there's this idea of like, teach people how to treat you. And if they're good at what they do, and if they're good people, once they learn, they'll do it. And so, yeah, it can feel frustrating because it's like, I just want you to know what I need, but it's like, how else will people know what we need unless we talk about it? So,
yeah,
it's a process for sure. And being surrounded by people who are willing to change and willing to do things differently, if you have that, you have a lot.
Awesome reflections there, Judy. Thank you so much for sharing. Helene, it looked like you were jumping in, so I'll be quiet. Please go for it.
No, I was basically what Demi said. Obviously, I was there as well, and it was frustrating. But like Judy said, our team is open to helping us, and they are willing to help us, and that means so much. And I do notice that they're trying. It's not always working very well yet, but just the fact that they're making that effort is doing a lot for me personally to make me feel good in the team.
I'm glad to hear that indeed. We have Neil Taylor back for plan C. Neil, please do give it a go. Let's see what happens. The anticipation. Could it be today? Oh, Neil.
I don't know. I see that his network isn't very good as well and dropping off at some point. So I'm not sure if it'll be for today.
Oh, it might have to be another time. Again, apologies, Neil, that hasn't quite worked out. We do appreciate your efforts to keep trying. We really, really are grateful for that. Yes, Neil, maybe there's some alternative way to find a way to do that. And I see Jesse in the chat. Grr, just tried to join from my phone, but seems you can't do that. Oh, you know what, Jesse? I've never tested that out on my phone before. So thank you for letting us know that. It's worth us feeding back that to Wistia, the platform that we use to support This Week in Quality. Talking about using Wistia, this platform, I did have a really good Call for Insights chat with Priti Gupta earlier on this week. Priti has been in the chat today. I don't want to give much away because it was a really cool convo, and I think folks would wait for the conversation. Priti had some awesome things to share about her experiences with and reflections on using AI to support us as testing and quality professionals. So yeah, keep a lookout for that one. Hopefully I will get that live next week, but it was lovely to chat with Priti. And if you haven't chatted with her before, I recommend you do so. So yeah, do go check out Priti Gupta's profile. She's up to lots of good stuff. All right. Okay, folks. Well, Neil has mentioned in the chat, sorry, I wonder if the network thing is the problem, you know, that is strange. Yes, it could be the thing that is the blocker right now, Neil. So a secondary problem, but thank you for trying. I see Jesse Barclay has joined us backstage. Let's get Jesse up on stage with a bit of a mixed signal. So let's see what happens. Jesse, welcome to This Week in Quality. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Simon.
We can hear you. Hey.
You can.
Yeah, it sounds good if you're on your mobile device. Are you using a mobile network as opposed to Wi-Fi, have I assumed correctly? Or,
well, I eventually had to go to my desktop. And
I gotcha.
You know, which leads to a funny experiment. You know, as testers, we have multiple devices. So I tested on Android, I tested on iOS, and clearly, yeah, you can't join via either of those operating systems. So, yeah, I guess I have to feed that back to Wistia.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate you trying, right? I think this is, yeah, I mean, we've got to test this stuff out. As you say, we can't, like, as we were saying earlier on, we just can't help ourselves. So why would we not?
I know.
Yeah. So how's your week been, Jesse? What's been going on in your world?
Oh, it's a lot, I would say. But there was room for a bit of community engagement and interaction. And so myself and Gary kind of saw each other at PSCon yesterday. And I think through Judy's comment and the thread of demos and things like that, it made me think about something I've kind of held very close to inside of just my testing career, of building bridges and relationships across teams who may not understand how software is delivered, or at least may not have played a particular role in either writing the code or testing it. But I think inside of her description, it reminded me of the fact of just the desire to want something to be better. We have to communicate that. What that looks like for myself or Judy or whomever is going to be different. But the desire to want something better, and so you'd have an interaction from that place, helps to communicate the thing that you want. So I had a call probably an hour before this session started. My developer kind of panicked. And in fact, I was calling to give her good news, not give bad news. And I think it's kind of important as testers to change the narrative around the thing we're communicating is always to make the product better. It's not to signal out or to point out the error. So I think it's kind of like thinking through, all right, the thing I'm about to say, is that going to help the person? Is it not? Is it going to break them down? Are we meeting them where they're at to build them up? And so those are the thoughts I was just having just while Judy was describing her scenario and her context. Being the sole tester, I'm also the sole tester on my team. So I think it's easy for that to happen, but I think, yeah, it requires a bit of a, you know, hand-holding at times, but at the same time, communicating with a sense of gentleness and empathy for the fact of they're creating something from scratch. And so we're just helping to make it better, really. So those are my initial thoughts, but that's about it, really.
Amazing reflections, Jesse. Judy, I don't know if you wanted to share your thoughts on Jesse sharing about your thoughts. Feel free to jump on in.
Yeah, Jesse, I hear you. Like, it's as a lone tester, it's not the same. Like, what I struggle with often is I kind of feel like I'm on an island, and you have to, it's like you have to do almost double the work of communication, because it's, you know, your developers are your comrades and your teammates, and at the same time, like, they're doing something completely different, and being able to communicate what you need, especially in a remote environment, like, that's another level, which I don't know that we talk about much, but I had a moment yesterday where I was just like, well, I don't know. I was just like, who am I going to talk to? I don't know. It's just one of those days that wasn't going as well. And when you don't have that QA team to just
bounce off of. It can be really, it can be hard. So, but you still have to communicate and you still have to consider the other person. Like when you're frustrated, you can't, you, I'm not saying you can't share your frustration, but you have to share it in a different way that someone can hear, if that makes sense. But yeah, what, as far as your role and where you are, Jesse, like, do you feel like you have particular problems that you face as a lone tester?
Yes, I think I do. And I think sometimes there is, so I'll give you some very short examples. I'm conscious there's about, 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of some short ones, not the full backstory. So for instance, I'm working on a module that is a vertical slice that needs to be loaded into a separate application. So there's a lot of integration testing that needs to be done. And there's another team that owns it. We're kind of like a customer to them, even though we're the same company. And I think sometimes there's the assumption that they would test for that, or we would test for that. And I think if that's not clear, I think that's the kind of where we butt heads. Oh, I assume you were going to test that. And a lot of assumptions. So I think oftentimes I have tried to kind of lean back and assess the full product of what is the thing that we're offering. We're offering a full service. We're not offering the module and the app as two separate things. And like you say, I think sometimes having to communicate the difficult things does mean that's just the reality that where we're at right now in the project. But it's not impossible to cross over those hurdles. It does mean having to have conversations with those whom, you know, may not share the same sense of passion for quality in something. But the fact that we are together offering a service and we're saying we're putting our names behind this is the thing that I'm often going after. So in other words, I would sometimes say, if you were to sell this and it had your name on it, would you be comfortable with it? Just from a very basic level, so that they can kind of see, wait a minute, it's beyond reputation. It's the investment of your work going over to someone else's. So think through, how is this person going to feel receiving an incomplete project, or feeling like, oh, the thing that I've received doesn't actually work? And I think a lot recently I've been tracking just the emotion that is triggered inside of our solutions. Does this cause pain? Does it cause frustration? If I did this, think about the fact of the user whom we cannot speak to apologize is quite possibly going to give us a bad review. So thinking through some of the, like, I really care about that in particular, the emotive side of walking through technology and hearing the frustrations, which is probably, I don't know, maybe my nature, but I think part of it is also the care for the quality of the product, the service, the interaction. What is the first impression that you feel when you start the user journey? Because, you know, it is a journey at the end of the day. So some of those things I think is helpful. And I think, like Simon has mentioned in the chat, the empathy mapping is important inside of that. So yeah, I realize it's broader than the question that you've asked, Judy. But yeah, sometimes as a lone tester, I kind of lean on those strengths and would literally read up articles on Ministry of Testing around those things to see how others walk through that as a lone tester. But yeah, that's it's a very broad answer. Apologies.
Yeah, it's really good. I'll do a really quick response because, yeah, we only have 4 minutes. But yeah, the assumptions piece. Oh, Lord. Like, I feel like that's part of our job as well, is like, how many assumptions, like, we're all, it's not just we're identifying defects, we also have to identify assumptions as well, and then name those, and then call those out and clarify those. And that's a lot of work that I don't think people
understand. And then really quickly, like in when you said you were talking about the emotions and testing, I'm testing music apps right now because, well, the service that I was using, they gave AI the ability to recommend songs and it's doing a very poor job of it. And so I'm on the journey of finding a new music app and I have so many emotions. I'm like, no, this isn't me. This isn't what I like. But I think all of us, if we're passionate about a specific tool or topic or thing, all of us are going to feel things whenever we're using an application. And so, yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it, is like by you feeling your feelings whenever you're using an application, that's what other clients are going to feel as well. So that could be like a test case of its own, really.
I absolutely love that idea that one of the test cases, maybe an exploratory test case, will be check all the things you feel while testing the application, while using the application. And I'm just imagining like the faces of my team when I report back on them on that. That's going to be lots of fun, I can tell. And I can see also in the chat, Simon has decided like the conversation was going so well that he's designed like, I'm just going to share my insight in the chat. So he shared all kinds of, like he has a link to the collection for being a sole quality engineer or tester in a team or a company. So he's pointing out that one really needs some more things in that. So if Judy, Jesse, if you guys want to write something down or do an insight on that or something, like I think it's going to help a lot more people as well. So we'd love to see that. I see Gary saying that at PierceCon there was an amazing talk that was also going a bit about the feelings of a product. So maybe Gary, you can share a bit more about what was said there and your findings and notes on that in a moment. I would love to read it. Love it. And we are trying to find a word for being the person that points out all the assumptions in analysis and application. So it's so far going between assumption detectives and assumption journalists. So do let us know which one you like best and maybe we will use it somewhere. I'm pretty sure. But I see that our time is almost up, Simon. So are there any last words before we signed up? I know there was one more moment you wanted to discuss we hadn't gotten to, but I'm not sure if there's time. Is there anything you would like to point out? Or
I'm having a little chuckle with my microphone on mute. I was literally just about to say assumption investigators because it sounds like AI, and Jesse's there already. No. Like there's a convergence.
Let's reclaim the word. No.
Yeah, we must reclaim AI assumptions investigators. I love that, Jesse. That's very good timing. What a brilliant way to end things. Well, yeah, I mean, there's always good stuff to call out, right? But we have come to the end of our session today. What I would say for those who want to see what's happening in the Motiverse, the homepage really is the place to go to. So ministryoftesting.com. We try and keep it updated, maybe 4 or 5 changes a day. So things move pretty fast. It's a good way to kind of dig into the detail. There's also the newsletter that Rosie puts out every Monday. So look out for that. You can get it on the site or in your inbox. So you can look at, there's some subscription boxes all over the site that you can subscribe to that. I'd also say check out the events page. So tap the events link in the header or go to ministryoftesting.com/events. There's always really good events going on, all sorts of stuff, whether it's like masterclasses, whether it's local chapter events, where you can meet up in person to some of the bigger events happening towards the end of the year, such as Leading with Quality and Moticon. Do go check them out. My final thought, and this is something that Rosie and I came up with this morning, so I'm yet to post a moment on it, so I can't really link to it because it's hot off the press. We want to set up, we're calling it AMA, so traditionally that would be Ask Me Anything, but we're deciding to call it Ask Motiverse Anything, so we can still use AMA. Here's how the process works, and go with me on this one because it is literally fresh, pretty much just before we started This Week in Quality. So it's early days. So here's our thinking. People can use moments to say, ask me anything about topic. So someone could say, ask me anything about AI, ask me anything about exploratory testing, ask me anything about being a solo tester, ask me anything about leadership. They post that moment. They encourage people to ask questions as a comment. So anyone can comment on that moment that says AMA. Anyone asks a question, a whole load of questions come in. And for every question, the person who created that AMA moment, they create a new moment. So one new moment per question to answer it. So they create a whole collection of short moments where it's like, here's the question, here's my answer. Next moment, here's the question, here's my answer. Loads of people receive stars in that process. The person, the AMA person also can earn badges over time for answering X number of questions. And we can also create collections. We can also eventually, and again, this is hot off the press, with the concept of local chapters, we also want to create theme-based chapters. So you could have a theme-based chapter on AI that you could join. You could have a theme-based chapter on exploratory testing, on leadership, et cetera, et cetera. We could then tag all of those moments into those chapters as well. So it's just another way of joining up all this incredible information that will exist in the Motiverse. So yeah, ask Motiverse anything. It's coming soon. So yeah, keep your eyes and ears out for that. And yeah, get stuck in. There you go, Demi, hot off the press.
We got like the first people to ever hear this idea in the Motiverse. I'm sure that I also already see some people excited for it. So I'm thinking like lots of people brainstorming on what they're going to put in that moment, what people can ask them about. I really don't know at the moment. So you can come ask me things about baking if you want. I'm not sure what else you want to know from me.
Oh, there's loads, Demi. Come on.
So maybe we should start somewhere, a thread like ask me anything, like give me some ideas on ask me anything. Maybe that's something good to put in the moment, like put on there what all you want to ask people about, and then we can find some good people you can ask those questions to, because I don't know what all people want to know, but I'm so curious to see all those ask me anything moments already.
Yeah, I think the way I drew a little diagram to try and explain the process, and I know, thanks for sticking around, folks, for those who are still with us beyond the hour, appreciate it. But the first like little box in the diagram just says, reflect on one of your areas of expertise. Give yourself some credit. What are you good at? And I think for a lot of us, that's hard for us to say, oh yeah, I do know my stuff about this, because we may compare ourselves to others. Yeah, I really, really encourage people to kind of go, you know what? I might not call myself an expert, but I do know some things about this. So that is still good enough to put out an AMA. So ask me about this. Because I think even in the process of putting yourself out there, even if you don't know the answer, you can, someone asks you a question, you don't really know the full answer, you can go and research yourself. So the act of actually someone asking you that question can help you become even more of an expert on a particular topic. And that's where I find it really interesting.
Or maybe you can get more people involved and like, oh, I don't know this, but I know someone else in the Motiverse.
Exactly.
And you tag them on the new moment and
you got can, it.
Yeah, get more people stuck in. That's how we do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, okay, folks. Well, thank you, Demi, for co-hosting. It's been a pleasure. As always, very grateful for everyone who joined us on stage today. And for those who have been busy in the chat, joining us live, thank you so much, and thanks for all of our listeners today. And we will see you around the Motiverse. Any final thoughts, Demi, before we sign off?
Not in the moment I wanted to say, but now I can't use that anymore because it has a different meaning. No, I shared my demo look in a moment. So anyone needing demo look, go find it, like it, put a comment on it, and I'm sharing my demo look with all you guys. And maybe that's a good way to end this episode. So
wonderful. Demi demo luck.
Yes. Awesome.
Brilliant. Okay, folks. Well, take care. And we will see you around the Motiverse. Bye for now.
Bye.